beyond all measure. And at his feet, peace of mind can still be found. If you have a need, I know he has the answer. Reach out.
This morning is the one we did a couple weeks ago, but we had a request to do it again. It's about Jesus and on the cross and what he did for us. And the promise is there that he'll make all things new again. If you're here this morning, you've got problems, you've got trials, or you don't have Christ in your life, he can make you new again.
Do not cry for me. All of this is exactly how it's supposed to be.
I'm right here. Can't you hear my voice? My life, my love, my Lord, my baby boy.
As they just know my Father waits for me.
God, how can this be your will, to have your Son and my Son here?
Whatever happens, whatever you see, whatever your eyes tell you has become of me. It's not the end. I am making all things new again.
They nail me to this tree,
just know my Father waits for me.
God, how can this be your way? Have your Son and my Son
forever.
Whatever
you see, whatever your eyes tell you have become of me, this is not the end. I am making all things new again. Whatever you see, whatever your eyes tell you has become of me, this is not the end. I am making all things new again.
It's wonderful, wonderful. And all that the Lord Jesus has done for us, how gracious He is, and how good it is to see each one here today. We thank the Lord that He brought us this way and hope that we realize that we're here for a reason, and God has brought us here and wants to work in our lives, and we look forward to what He's going to do. I'm going to ask you, if you will, today to open your Bibles to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, looking at verse 25 and following, at the unfolding drama of redemption. The fact that God keeps revealing more of His plan of salvation. You know, the Bible makes it very clear, 2 Peter 3:9, that God desires that none should perish. God doesn't want anyone to die lost, that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's His desire for the world. That's His desire for each one in this service today. So I hope that we'll listen and let God speak to our hearts, and that we'll leave here changed because we've been in His presence. Let's stand together as we read out of God's Word, Romans chapter 11. And while you're standing for just a minute, part of our homecoming this year is the fact that we were able to get our associate pastor, Justin Cunningham's picture framed and up on our wall of pastors and associate pastors. So when you exit today, I hope that you'll take time and try to go out the doors here to my left and notice that picture and just... Well, you can see him here in person, too, but look at that picture. And the pastors, one of the men that we wanted to have speak for our homecoming was Al Miller, and we discovered that he passed away this past year. And so we lift that family, the Miller family, in prayer. But it does remind us that life, uncertain, unsure, changes. We don't know what a year does hold for us. But we have this day. And it's a very good day, and we're looking forward to what the Lord's going to do today. So in Romans 11, I'm going to begin at verse number 25. The Bible says this: I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part, until the number of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godliness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them. And then I will take away their sins. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask, Lord, that you would let it speak to us, that you would reveal truth to our hearts. Lord, you know those who have been sick this week. We pray and ask, Lord, that you would continue to be with Lib Conley in a special way. We thank you that, Lord, you have been working on her behalf. Continue to strengthen her and bless her. Lord, we also thank you for, Lord, showing grace to Renee Powell and allowing her to come home, and just pray that you'd continue to strengthen her. And Lord, others this week that are facing some tests and procedures, Lord, we pray that your grace would be upon them. And Father, we thank you for our charter members that are able to be here, Cecil, Emmy Kincaid, and Hamp Taylor. Lord, we just give you praise and ask, Lord, that you would continue to bless them and move in great grace on their behalf. And Father, may this church capture that same vision with which it was started, that we would reach this community for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we're going to praise you for all the many good things that you do this day. Lord, we love you, and we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Come to this great chapter here in the book of Romans, Romans 11, focusing on the sovereignty of God, that God is sovereign. It also focuses on the fact that God is going to do a work on Israel's behalf yet again sometime in the future. It also speaks to us as Gentiles, because in verses 16 through 24, he gave us that truth that God had allowed us a time where we have been engrafted into the vine. We have been brought into the root and vine, so that we've now become a part of the family of God. And not only a part of the family of God, we have become the bride of Christ. And boy, I tell you, that's exciting. We live in a very, very wonderful age of grace. And if you don't praise God for anything else, that right there is something that you and I ought to thank God for, this time that we've been allowed to live. But because of Israel's unbelief, they had been set aside, and now God has been doing a work in the Gentiles. We notice that God, our God, is a God who is holy. He is righteous. He is good. And He is able. Well, our God is able. He's able to do anything. That's exciting, because whatever your need is, whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, God is able to meet your need. And so, listen, I want you to know, we ought to realize today that needs are going to be met right here in this service, because Almighty God is present in this place, and He's able to do anything. In fact, I want you to know, He's able to bring dead bones back to life. He is able to bring dead branches back to life and even engraft them into a living tree. And that's what He tells us, reveals to us, that He's going to do on behalf of Israel. Today we want to see this unfolding message of redemption. And may God speak to our hearts. In fact, I hope God gives us a fresh burden. You know, when a church is started, there's usually a group that are kind of like the pioneers. They are out. They've got a mission in mind. They're setting out. They want to accomplish something. But if a church isn't careful as it moves into the second and third generation, those pioneers turn into settlers. And we start to settle down and settle in, and this is what I do. This is my place. I go through this and no more. And, you know, my prayer is that God will give us a fresh pioneer spirit, where we'll be looking out at our community and say, God, what can we do to reach Morganton, Burke County, North Carolina, for the Lord Jesus Christ? What would you have us to do? And that we would move out in obedience to what God reveals to us. But I want you to notice, first of all, the revealed purpose of God in verse 25. He tells us that, I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery. Now, that's always a good word to pay attention to in the New Testament. The word mystery. It's an important word. It talks about something that had been hidden in the past. Something that God, the truth was there, but He wasn't letting people see it yet. But now He says, I am taking the cover off of this mystery so that it might be revealed unto you. That it might be open to you. And so this mystery involves two things. First of all, it reveals the blindness of Israel. That Israel was going to receive a judgment of blindness upon their eyes. So that while there were a few Jews that recognized Jesus and responded and were saved, the majority rejected Him. The majority couldn't see it. They couldn't see Him as their Messiah. They were blinded. Oh, about 10 or 11 years ago, I had the privilege of going to Israel, and one of the things we did was go down into the streets, and we had a street meeting service of preaching, and then we broke out into pairs, and we witnessed to people. And it was amazing to take those Jews through the plan of salvation and see again the blindness. Even though they're walking where Jesus walked and they see the empty tomb, still they're blind. Because God has allowed this judgment to fall upon them. But also He talked about until the fullness of the Gentiles. God has opened the eyes of the Gentiles at this point so that we might be saved. God has been doing a work on our behalf. In fact, I want you to know there's a lot of preachers and commentaries who believe that you and I are living in the time of this fullness of the Gentiles, where God is allowing a great work to fall among Gentile nations and saving people by large numbers because we're getting close to the end of those days. Are we not seeing it today? When you look at Russia, a country once closed completely to the gospel, now open and having people saved by the thousands. China, another place where people are being saved by the thousands. India, who had been closed and hardened and persecuting Christians, still persecutes Christians, but more and more Hindus are being converted to Christianity. In India. Listen, there is a wave of revival. You know, we look at America and we almost see the opposite happening. We see some falling away from the faith. And the Bible warns that both of those things will happen. There will be a falling away and yet there will be a time of fullness of the Gentiles. A revival falling among the Gentiles. And I want to ask you, we ought to all look at our life and say, where does my life fit in? Am I lining up with what God's will is and with what God is doing in this world? Why does God reveal this mystery unto us? Well, He says, first of all, because He does not want us to be ignorant. Boy, God says, listen, I don't want you to be in the dark. I don't want you to not know what's going on. And we ought to see that. Secondly, He says, so that we would not be wise in our own conceits. In other words, that we would not begin to think that we're better than the Jews because we responded to the gospel. No, listen. We are saved by faith. By faith. By grace through faith. And the only thing we can brag in is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He did all the saving, didn't He? He was the one that redeemed us. But notice, if you will, secondly, the redeeming plan. This is the heart of Paul's teaching. This is where he has been headed to in this chapter. I want you to back up a couple chapters. Look in Romans 9 at verse 1 and following. Romans 9, notice how it started. He said, I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of mine own race, the people of Israel. Isn't that something? I mean, here he reveals his heart, his great burden. I mean, here he is, one that God called to be an evangelist to the Gentiles. And he goes into the synagogues and preach, and a few Jews respond, but a great number of Gentiles start responding to the gospel. And Paul looks at his brethren who are dying lost and dying separate from God. And now he says, listen, my heart hurts and I am in anguish because of this. Then again in chapter 10, notice the first verse. He says, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. Now notice what God reveals to us. He reveals that He's going to do that exact thing. He is going to save Israel. He's going to save Israel. Verse 26 says, and so all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with him when I take away their sins. In the book of Zechariah, there are three chapters, chapter 12, 13, and 14. Are given to us as an oracle from God about the last days. And in it we see seven truths, and I want to give those to you. One is the fact that God will deliver Jerusalem from the nations. God will deliver Jerusalem from the nations. God was going to establish Israel once again as a nation. Then he tells us, secondly, that they will look on him whom they have pierced and mourned. That's in Zechariah 12:10. There's coming a day when Israel, they're going to see Christ coming again, and they're going to look on him and mourn. And then he also goes on to say that a fountain will be opened to the house of David. The people. In chapter 13, verse 9, it says, the people will call on God, and the Lord will descend to Mount Olives, the Mount of Olives, and save the people in a time of great trouble. The Gentiles will go to Jerusalem and worship. That's found in chapter 14 of Zechariah. And the people will become holy in all they are and do. The unfolding message of salvation. Right now. Right now, you and I have the privilege to hear and respond to the gospel. But folks, it's not always going to be that way. There's coming a time of an end to this day that of grace as we know it. In fact, the time is coming when God will tell His Son, Son, go get your bride. Go get your bride. And there's going to be a shout. I believe He's going to say, come up hither. Come up here. And if you're saved, you're going to hear it. And there's going to be a trumpet blast. And those that have been saved, those that have died, they're going to come up out of the graves, and those that are still alive are going to be changed, and we're going to caught up and be with the Lord. Praise His name. Folks, what a glorious and wonderful promise we have. And that is the promise that God gives for the saved. But if you're lost when that happens, listen, you're going to be here and there's going to come a great time of tribulation. There will be 3.5 years of tribulation, and then there will be 3.5 years of great tribulation. Horrible things happening. 1/3 of the world's population dying at one time. Horrible calamities. And so God says, you know what? I don't want you to be ignorant about the future. I want you to know what's going on because I want you to respond to me. Listen, I want to ask you, have you been saved? Have you been saved? Can you look in your heart and there is a witness inside of you that says Jesus Christ lives and He lives in your heart? As the songs were being sung earlier, was there something inside of you saying, yes, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I'm going to be there. There's no doubt about it. And listen, if you're sitting there and there is a doubt, today ought to be the day that you settle that matter. That you take care of it. Because God wants you to know that you're saved. But also notice, if you will, the reserved promise. In verses 22 and following, He brings out the fact that God is fulfilling His promises. Verse 26, notice that verse. He went on to say, so all of Israel shall be saved. Now skip down to verse 28. It says, as far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies on your account. But as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. Now notice verse 29 says, for God's gifts and His call are irrevocable. But the King James says they're without repentance. God gives gifts and He gives out His call. His call is the call of salvation. And He gives out that call and it is unrevocable. You can't take it back. God has sent it out. And He sent it out through the Holy Spirit. He sent it out through Jesus dying on the cross. And now the Holy Spirit coming. And now you sitting in front of a preacher hearing the gospel. And God calls to your heart. Boy, it may be a gentle knock. It may be a shake on your whole body. It may be God turning your world upside down because He's trying to save your soul. Are you listening? Are you responding to Him? Jeremiah chapter 32. Let me just read this one verse to you. Jeremiah 32. Isaiah and then Jeremiah. Jeremiah 32, verse number 42. Says this. This is what the Lord says. As I have brought all this great calamity on this people, so I will give them all the prosperity I have promised them. God says, you know what? Just as I promised calamity and judgment to fall upon Israel, and it fell upon them, and they're still experiencing some of that judgment, God says, I'm going to fulfill my promise to them 100%. I'm going to bring to fulfillment everything that I promised. Listen, and here's why. Because God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful to do what He promises to do. He's faithful in preserving His people. Listen, if you're saved, John chapter 10, Verse 27 and following says that He has hidden you in the very hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's placed that hand in His own bosom. You're secure. You're going to be preserved. You're going to be taken care of because God is faithful. God is faithful in disciplining His people. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, He says, every son I discipline. Everyone that's a real child of God receives discipline. Listen, I want you to know, if you're able to get away from God for a long time and nothing is going wrong, more than likely you're lost. Because if you're His and you begin to drift away and go away, I want you to know He's going to bring you back. There's going to be some judgment that falls on your life. But secondly, God is faithful in glorifying His people. It's interesting to look at the book of Romans and see how Romans 6 through 8 ends with the promise of glory. Romans 9 through 11 ends in glory. Folks, God is faithful. God is faithful. But what about us? A.W. Pink made this statement. He said, unfaithfulness is one of the most outstanding sins of these days. Unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness in business. A man's word no longer is his bond. Unfaithfulness in society. Marriage bonds so easily broken and set aside. Unfaithfulness in religion and worship. Preachers denying Scripture. Church members just being unfaithful. Listen, I want to ask you, when we look at the faithfulness of God, boy, it ought to move us to repentance. We look at the fact that God has been good to us. We're here today. We're able to breathe. We're able to walk. You were able to come into this service. God, listen, God has been good to you. The goodness of God ought to draw us to repentance. I mean, if you're not where you ought to be with God, today's the day that you ought to come. We call it homecoming. You ought to come back home to Him. Come to this altar and say, God, there's some things I want to get right with You. I want to confess my sin and repent and let You be Lord of my life. Maybe it's the first time in a long time since you've been back to worship here at El Bethel. And God's speaking to your heart and you know you ought to come and repent of some things and get back to where you once were. There are some here that have made professions of faith, but you've never made it public. You've never been baptized. Listen, why don't you come today and take me by the hand and say, Pastor Ron, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized. I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus in baptism. Well, maybe God's leading you to be a part of this church. You've been visiting. Every time you're here, you feel that witness in your heart. Boy, this is it. I have found a place where I can worship, where I can belong. Listen, why don't you come today? Say, Lord, I want to honor You. I want to be faithful. I want to be obedient to You. Let's bow our hearts and heads together in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your grace. Oh, how good You are to us. Lord, if we got what we deserve, none of us would be able to stand even right now. But Lord, by Your grace and Your mercy, we're here. And Lord, You've allowed us to be in a place where the gospel has been sung to us and the gospel has been preached to us. And Lord, I believe You've pricked hearts. I believe there are some today that need to come. Lord, they may just need to come and bring their burden to the altar. They may need to come and pray for a family member who's gone astray. Or, Lord, it may be the day that they need to make that decision to give their heart to Christ. Father, I pray that You would remove any barrier, any hindrance. Lord, may this altar be open for men and women to come and seek Your will. And Father, we're going to praise You for all that You do. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand together. Our choir is going to sing our hymn of invitation. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to bow your head. If you need to come, listen, will you just step forward and come today? God has spoken to your heart. God's invited you to come. Will you come? Let's stand together as we sing.